Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. Today we will be bringing you an excerpt from the recent University of South Carolina Moore School of Business Economic Outlook Conference. And today's excerpt comes from Sarah House, Director and Research Economist at Wells Fargo Economics.
Looking specifically at the debt part of household wealth, so if you look at debt service, so what households have to actually spend out of their monthly income towards prior purchases, so that's fallen in housing to historic lows. Now that in part reflects lower interest rates as well as lower home ownership. Where you have seen more debt growth has been in categories of consumer credit. So this is things like credit cards, auto loans, student loans. But even with the growth that we've seen in consumer credit, you've seen that debt service has been pretty stable over the past couple years as income has also rebounded. It's still, you know, well within its historic range. It isn't at a level that's screaming that households are really stretched thin. Now, another way to check on the health of the consumer is to look at delinquencies for various types of consumer credit. So student loans, its own beast, very hard to discharge in bankruptcy, so you tend to see higher delinquency rates. But if you look at some of the other categories, you can see that mortgage delinquencies, home equity lines of credit delinquencies continue to trend lower. But you have seen a bit of an upturn in terms of credit cards and auto loans. So credit cards, we have seen a pickup here, but at the same time, it's still low on a historic basis. The auto delinquencies are a little bit more concerning, but if you look at the composition of who's actually borrowing, this isn't all of a sudden that prime borrowers are having trouble servicing their loans. So we've seen credit expand back more in towards subprime borrowers, and so it's a little bit of a different credit profile. So you'd expect subprime borrowers to have higher delinquencies on net. Now, why we're not terribly worried about rising delinquencies in this area is in part because we've actually seen credit tighten up and credit growth has slowed. So this is going to be another factor that leads to slightly more moderate consumer spending growth in the year ahead, is if you look at both lending standards, those are declining, its banks are tightening up credit, there's also less demand, you're seeing both tighter credit and lower demand. So that's a recipe for slower credit growth, but you have seen lending become a little bit more disciplined in terms of consumer lending, as well to some extent as business lending and especially commercial real estate lending. So that's in some ways putting a little bit of a tapping of the brakes in terms of overall growth. You'll notice though that housing, your GSE eligible loans, that's one area where you continue to see an increase in demand and credit though. So that's a signal that housing is going to continue to make modest gains to the economy next year. All right, so let's talk about monetary policy and its major drivers. So another reason we think that consumer spending is going to be in pretty good shape next year, even as we see some moderation, is the wage growth that we've already discussed to some extent today. So this is just another way of looking at it. It looks at average hourly earnings growth in the highest 40% of paying industries versus the bottom 40%. And what you can see here is that really where we've seen the strongest wage growth, it has been in those lower paid occupations. So this is encouraging in terms of broadening the base of consumer spending. So these households do tend to spend more of their income, and so you're no longer relying just on your very upper income households to fuel spending and growth. So that's encouraging, and also a sign that the labor market is genuinely tight. Now, when we look at employment growth, we do expect some moderation for the year ahead. That's going to be a continuation of a trend we've already seen this year. So private sector hiring slowed from an average about 180,000 in the 6 months through April to closer to about 140,000 over the past 6 months. You'll notice, though, that most of that slowing has been in what we loosely labeled blue-collar work. So this is more of your industrial exposed industries like construction, like energy, manufacturing, and then transportation services. So where we haven't really seen a slowdown at all is in these other components, which do tend to be more tied to towards your traditional services, or at least less exposed to the global slowdown. So in other words, this is a sign that we're not seeing that spillover from that global weakness or manufacturing slowdown really spill over into other sectors, and that's going to keep the broader expansion on track.
You've been listening to an excerpt from the recent University of South Carolina Moore School of Business Economic Outlook Conference. The speaker during this excerpt was Sarah House, Director and Research Economist at Wells Fargo Economics. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can also subscribe to this podcast with the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.